Joe Salzone, are you with us on the air?
I sure am, Dave.
Hello, Joe. Yeah, I was just on the phone with Jeff Goodman, whom you will remember well, and he was reminiscing a bit about Dave's Gone By. Joe Salzone was at the radio station that this program was on from the very beginning, back in 2002, and Joe was our engineer for a few times. He was certainly on the air a few times with us, and you've had a rather interesting life over those past 10 years in and out of radio and now back in radio, which I'm very, very happy to hear. So first of all, I guess the first question is, how have you been, Joe Salzone?
Well, Dave, I've been just fine. I have a wedding that I'm going to in a few hours, and I still have to pack for a wonderful new chapter in my career that I begin on Monday.
Okay, well, first of all, whose wedding?
I'm sorry?
Whose wedding? Who's getting married?
Oh, it's my cousin. Not really looking forward to it, but I have to go.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Okay, so that gets that question out of the way. Now, what are you packing for?
Well, Dave, as of Monday, I'll be the new co-anchor of a morning news radio program in upstate New York. I believe technically my first day on the air will be Wednesday, but the first couple of days will just be getting acquainted and getting up to speed with the technology. I understand that on noon on Monday, there will be a lunch given as a way of welcoming me to the team.
Nice. Nice,
yes,
bro.
That's a lot more than I've ever received in the 13 years I've been in this unusual business.
Yeah, I never even bought you a burger. I never did crap for you. So the fact that you're getting a free lunch.
I think you bought me a cup of coffee once.
Did I really? You owe me owe me like $1.30 then. Wow, I forgot to ask about that back. So tell me, when you say you're going to be a co-anchor on this new station, what will your actual duties be? You'll be on the air, obviously, but do you need to do news gathering? What do you have to do?
I'll be in charge of writing, producing, editing, anchoring, and reporting all the news for a particular area. I'll also be tasked with attending town hall meetings and local events, gathering as much audio as I can so I can hand it over to the afternoon anchors so they can do with it what they wish for their time on the air. So I'll more or less become what I've been accustomed to being, which is a one-man newsroom.
Neat. Do you know what the what's the listenership on the station that you're going to?
Dave, that's a really good question, and I wish I had a firm answer. I know that it's a smaller market, and ratings in small markets are tough to come by, and even tougher now that Arbitron has been replaced more or less by these personal people meters or whatever they're called. But I do know that for the area, it is very highly rated, and it is covered over 6 or 7 different stations. So it's a rather broad swath of potential listeners.
That's wicked cool. And you're doing the real radio life, something that I never did. And that is, you have a job, you know, you're lucky enough to get a job because you've been right now, or you just left a job at college, right? You're running programming director for a college radio station.
Friday was my final day.
Yeah, wow. And so now you're just picking up and moving. That's what radio does. You move here, you move there, you spend 2 years, 3 years, half a year, boom, 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 and you're doing it. Do you have an apartment? What's your living situation come Monday?
Well, at least for the first couple of weeks, I'll be staying with a couple of friends. I have an appointment Tuesday afternoon to see an apartment. And I know some people spend many, many weeks searching for one. If I like it, I'll just say yes.
Well, I hope the landlord isn't listening. I'll ask $1,800 a month. Why not, you know?
Yeah, that's given the area, it's a younger area. It's sort of a college town, so I imagine that rent will be on par with the income of the average college student.
Oh, so okay. Hopefully. That would be lucky for you. That would be real good. Can I ask you some of the before we get to some of your memories of doing my show and doing it at the radio station that we all started at back in New York, what are some of your best memories of the job that you just had, being the programming director at the college station? Because I was programming director here at UNC Student Radio for 2 years. So I'm wondering
Then you'll understand this, since you and I have this same level of responsibility. I'm going to miss working with students most of all and helping them develop their own skill set for radio and television. I won't miss the paperwork and the bureaucracy and the red tape that I had to sort of muscle my way through, but I'll miss the students and watching them mature as broadcasters.
Hmm. That's pretty
special. One of the nicest things I heard all week was a student that I had been working with really since my first day on the job earlier in the year, saying that without me, they would not have gained the confidence needed to really be successful in anything. And that was awfully nice to hear.
Wow.
And then I gave him $100 for saying it.
Hey, if I say something nice to you, will you give me $100?
No.
Okay.
I'll buy you $1.30 cup of coffee. Then we'll be even.
Well, okay. That's fair. I'll accept. That's more than I've made in most of my years in radio. You know, $1 for a dirty cup of coffee.
Yeah, you and me both.
So what are your memories of my show and being on my show and engineering for my show? And then we'll also get to your memories of that crazy radio station we were both on back on Long Island. But any anecdotes, any thoughts?
Well, I can remember the main thing that really comes to mind any time I think about our time working together was just the colloquy. We had a nice, we always enjoyed nice repartee off the air and on air as well. At least on my end, I don't know if you would agree.
That was because we were having sex off the air. Yeah,
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, and your wife videotaped much of it. I, being introduced to Rabbi Solomon
yes.
is probably one of the greatest achievements of my professional and personal life. Just being able to work with such a dynamic figure who certainly goes against the grain was always a delight. I was always tickled when the rabbi made his presence known.
Literally, he was get behind you and tickle you under the armpits.
Yeah, he would take feather, and it was nice. It was wonderful.
And you converted, didn't you? Didn't he make you convert?
I did. I think for one show, I did. I still have a scar to prove it.
And the strange thing is you converted to Mormonism, which was really bizarre. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I had to give up six wives, so that's, you know, a lot of alimony payments I don't have to make anymore, at least for that one day. The one thing is that, you know, all the years that the three of us worked together, I never saw you two together.
Oh. Yeah, it's sort of like people think it's like
Superman. I know you two were very close.
We were.
But, you know, as soon as the rabbi would come in, you would go off and do whatever it is you had to do. So I always wondered, was there friction that existed between you two?
Was there friction? Well, of course, when the rabbi and I would have sex, there was tremendous friction. No, just kidding. Well, no, it was a pretty simple arrangement that we had, that when he was on the air, I had to run and cover his shul. I had to go to his synagogue and give sermons and stuff. Because if he left the synagogue unattended, the congregation would just walk away with everything. I mean, they would take down the windows and the books and the, you know, they wouldn't leave a piece of plywood and he'd come back and there'd be nothing. So he made sure that there was always somebody watching over the synagogue. So when he would come in to do his interviews and reflections, I would go to his synagogue and then, you know, he would cover the radio and vice versa. That's why you never saw us together.
Well, I would have thought that his wife Miriam would have taken over while the rabbi was on the air.
Invariably,
six and a half children.
Every time that he would be on the air, she would be giving birth again. That was the thing. She was always in labor. So
always that half child.
Yes. You have a good memory, yeah. The baby barrel, too, whose head one day will take its proper shape, I hope.
Yes. those memories are burned in my head, unfortunately.
Hey, can I ask?
I don't know if you, well, you weren't there for this. The rabbi decided to, for his 10-week television show, decided to bombard people at a street fair at a train station.
Yes.
I know you saw the footage, but you were busy, I guess. And the rabbi just terrorized everyone. And I remember there was someone in a porta potty that he damn near pulled out. And I mean, there was a breathtaking shot of one explosive bowel movement that is also forever burned in my head.
And your nose, come to think of it.
Oh, yeah, it burned all my nose hairs right off.
And it was your bowel movement, too, so that was really...
Yeah, deep. It was. That was a scary thing. It was a really bad time, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you were also involved in the Rabbi's TV show. That's
I
want to start that up again.
Yeah, I still, to this day, don't know how I was roped into that.
Literally, you were literally roped in.
It was a wrangling. It occupied me.
We're talking with Joe Salzone. On this 10th anniversary edition of Dave's Gone By, Joe, a wonderful part of the show on and off for about 5 or 6, almost 7 years when we were doing the program back on Long Island Radio. Any memories, cool or weird or funny or strange, of your years at that old radio station as an engineer, as an announcer, as a coordinator, whatever? Any thoughts?
I remember the first day I met you.
Uh-oh, yeah.
You had just walked into the building, and this was back when the station was located in Merrick, Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And you had gotten off the train, because you took the train back then.
Right.
From your house in Hewlett, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, my memory. And you, as I recall, you were wearing 4 layers of clothes. It was, it was fall, late fall, you were wearing 4 layers and a hat, and I just thought you were the strangest-looking guy I've ever met.
Thank you. Well, how many layers were you wearing if it was that cold?
I was wearing 2, but the thing is, as your show progressed, as you really got into it, you would peel back layers. So off the sweater would go, the button-down shirt, and I remember one day walking through the green room. You were sitting on the couch in a V-neck undershirt and whatever pants you were wearing. For whatever reason, your shoes and socks were off as well.
My socks? No,
and
I just thought,
well, this is why you're on at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, it was probably also overheated in the studio itself. That was the thing. As soon as it got a little bit cold outside, they would pump the heat up. And so, even this morning I had my shirt off. Here at UNC, I've got my undershirt on, my V-neck undershirt. So some things never change. If you're going to keep it 85 degrees, I'm going to take my shirt off, And when I have attractive female guests, I'm hoping that they will do the same thing,
Hey, that's everyone's goal.
Hey, speaking
for memories of the station overall, I was there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly had quite a few interesting people working with us, didn't we?
Yes.
We had the white hip-hopper. We had the board op, who may or may not have been a pedophile to this day. I still don't know.
Well, wait, who is that? Well, oh, I know who you're talking about. Don't mention names, but I know exactly.
No, I won't mention names.
Okay, yeah.
I'll just use pronouns.
Okay.
There was our boss with the one-eyed cat. I mean, and the scary thing is, Dave, you and I know this is all real. This all happened. We were there for it.
Yeah.
Anyone who hears that will think we're making this up. It happened. These were real people.
But anybody who works who knows radio knows that's pretty standard. Weird people gravitate towards, with all due respect, nutty, zany, eccentric, loner, kooky folks gravitate to radio stations. And the thing is, if they don't...
radio's full of freaks. That's a simplified version of what you're saying. We are anyone who's in the business. We're freaks. We're weirdos. We're outcasts. We're ne'er-do-wells. We are all these wonderful things. But did you know that as of right now, this is my 21st appearance on your show?
Heck, you've been counting? Or did you just go to my website?
I looked at your website yesterday, and you have archives of all the guests and all the shows they've been on, and I counted. I had done 20 appearances on your show before today.
So this means, you know what this means? 21 means now you can drink. I've driven you to drink finally. Now you're allowed to legally, you know?
You know, I've been carrying around this wine for 21 appearances, and I'm glad that now I can finally drink it.
There you go. I hope it doesn't turn into vinegar at this point.
It probably is. I did buy it in Brooklyn, so it's probably vinegar now.
There you go. Nothing like Brooklyn vintage wine. We're talking, we have just like one or two more minutes left with Joe Salzone. Wonderful talking to you on this 10th anniversary of my program. Let me ask another couple of quick personal things. First of all, is your dog still, how is your weenie dog? Is Nathan still around?
Nathan passed away earlier in the year.
I'm sorry. Okay.
He was experiencing a great amount of pain, so he was, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
The others are still around. My parents adopted a larger dog. The barking that you hear in the background actually is the newer dog. Watching leaves fall or whatever the hell he's barking at.
What kind of dog?
An Italian Mastiff. He's 20 pounds heavier than I am. He's a very, very big dog with a head the size of a basketball, and I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm not.
Okay. And can I ask, is there a lady person in your life these days?
There is.
Ooh.
As a matter of fact. We just yesterday was our 2-week anniversary. Poor timing, unfortunately.
She lives on Long Island?
Shut up, dog. We're going to... only with us. Not often do you hear dogs barking during a radio interview.
On my show,
all the
time.
We're going to do a long-distance thing for a while and see how it works.
That's a little... So is she from Long Island?
She's from Queens.
Queens. Oh, and you're going to be... What town are you going to be in?
I'll be in Auburn. So from Queens to Auburn, it's about a little more than 5 hours away, which is not a bad drive. I've driven longer distances. And speaking of driving, Dave...
Yes?
I found out a couple of days ago when you and I talked on the phone briefly that you drive now.
Oh, yeah.
And for someone who's known you for I guess, 10 years, that's an astonishing fact.
Well, yeah. I went 46 years of my life without driving. I mean, I had a license and all that. And for various reasons, including my usual Jewish cowardice, I never got behind the wheel. And the fact that I worked in New York City and things like that. But coming out to Colorado, you have to turn into a different person. So now I actually drive a Subaru, if you can believe it. I'm behind the wheel of a utility vehicle. Well, it's not really a utility vehicle. It's utilitarian. It gets me to and fro. But I'm driving, man. I have been for a year and a half almost. So
you like it?
Sometimes I actually enjoy it. I never thought I would ever say that. But there are times when it's pleasurable.
It took me living upstate for 3 years to really enjoy driving. Down here, I hate it.
Right.
It's a chore. But up there, it's wonderful.
And the traffic here is not what it was, obviously, in New York. And you just, and then sometimes when you head west on the highway here in Greeley, I mean, you're staring at mountains and sunrises and sunsets, and it's pretty like, the vista that you get. And you can get that as a passenger, too, but there's something about being behind the wheel and seeing that and heading into it with your foot on the gas.
Driving in an area like that can be very cathartic.
Oh, yeah. I have to change my underpants like 3 or 4 times during a trip just from the excitement of it.
Well, that's average for someone your age, Dave.
You know, you've gotten funnier in your dotage. You're much, much funnier than you used to be. I think that, and you were pretty funny always.
That's because I'm not an obnoxious 18-year-old anymore. Now I'm an obnoxious 28-year-old.
Are you a libertarian? Are you voting for Ron Paul?
Ron Paul is not running. I am voting for the libertarian candidate, yes.
Who is the libertarian candidate?
Gary Johnson, a man who will get two votes, his own and mine.
Well, at least you're not – well, I'm not, I don't want to get into – because you used to be so – and I take some credit for this. Joe used to be so right-wing. You know, in his teenage, no question about that. And I came in there pretty, I won't say 100% left wing, but certainly on the left side of things, and kind of swung Joe around during the Bush administration a bit. And even though he's not a Democrat, and I'm not saying I blame him for not being affiliated with either major party, for gosh sakes, but at least he stopped swallowing the Kool-Aid that was being dished out.
Could not, in good conscience, become a Democrat because I don't see many differences at the top between Democrats and Republicans anymore.
Mm. I get that, but and that's a conversation for another time. Although I bought into that whole idea of they're basically the same that Ralph Nader was pushing 25 years ago, but that kind of thinking got people voting. You know, that it kept Gore out of office, and we got George Bush instead. So you can't really think that they're both the same because they're not. They both are beleaguered by a lot of the same problems and are beholden to the same banks and corporations and pharmaceutical companies, but they're not the same. I mean, that's my political thing in a nutshell. But anywho, or from a nutcase.
They're all scum.
Well, yes.
Yeah. But we can agree on that.
Sometimes scum like me rises to the middle. And I'm very proud to say that I've done that here with Dave's Gone By. And very happy to say that Joe Salzone is a really great guy and a good friend of me and of this program. And all I can do is wish you wonderful success at your new radios. Can you give the call letters out? Can we go listen to you on Wednesday when you get on the air?
I can say that they can go to FingerLakesDailyNews.com and listen online beginning 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Oh, my God. That's 3:30.
Yeah, I don't expect you to roll out of bed at 3:30.
Not going to happen.
But can I just say, Dave, that I hope we get to talk on the 20th anniversary of this show.
It would be my honor and my pleasure, especially if you're up there in the Finger Lakes. And you need a catchphrase. How's that? Get fingered by Joe Salzone. Would that be a good catchphrase for you?
I don't know. I don't think legal would appreciate that.
Yeah, probably not. I would, though. Anywho. But it would be an honor. And, of course, you know, when I'm back in New York or you're out, if you head west, would love to see you again and certainly get you back on this program every once in a while to do what we've just been doing because it's been a blast. So
I would be delighted if we could do that.
Well, I wish you just nothing but further success, good times, good radio for Joe Salzone, and I thank you for coming back and visiting the neighborhood.
Dave, thank you, and all the best to you and Joyce.
Thanks, man. Have a great one. Bye-bye now.
You too.
Bye-bye. Joe Salzone, the wonderful Joe Salzone, a good friend, and it's just, I did know him when he was a callow 17, 18, 19-year-old, and he's just matured in such a nice way and turned into such a fine person. I mean, you can just see that from the way he talks.